Job chapter 1. We'll just read the first five verses of Job chapter 1. The Bible says this: there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. And let's have a word of prayer this morning. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine. And Lord, we thank you for that. Now, Lord, as we open your word, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. And Lord, as the word of God goes forth, Lord, I pray that you do that work that only you can do. And Lord, take your word, Lord, and speak to us through it. I pray it'll be an encouragement and a help to the folks here this morning. And we love you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to bring you a message this morning. Entitled this, "Why Bad Things Happen to Good People." I don't know about you, but that's an age-old question, isn't it? And as we look around and we look at the people's lives that we come in contact with and the people we know, I don't know about you, but I've often asked myself this question: why bad things happen to good people? And I'm thinking of a buddy of mine I went to college with. And we were in school together, and this young man was on fire for the Lord. His heart was on the mission field. He wanted to be a missionary to Mexico. And he even said, he knew when he came to college he was going to be a missionary to Mexico. And he had everything lined out. There was a pastor he was going to go work for who was a very successful pastor in Mexico for a few years. And he was ready to go. But after he graduated, and of course he had a family and things of that sort, he contracted some type of very aggressive and very odd cancer. And this cancer began to attack his body, and he was not able to go to Mexico. And he fought this cancer, and even today he's still fighting this cancer. And it deterred him from going to the mission field, but it did not deter him from serving the Lord. He's still trying to serve the Lord and do certain things. But I look at my buddy Dan. And I've often, looked at his life and wondered, why in the world, why not God? Why couldn't the deadbeat get cancer? Why couldn't the kid who came to Bible college and wasn't really all, excited about serving the Lord, why didn't he get cancer? Why did Dan have to get cancer? And no doubt if y'all had an opportunity to come and testify this morning, you could tell very similar stories. And so why do bad things happen to good people? Well, let's look at the life of Job for just a few minutes, and we'll try to answer some of these questions from his life. First of all, I want you to take a look at the life of Job. We notice, first of all, in verse 1 that he was a saved, godly, holy man. Look what it says about Job here. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil." What a testimony. And, of course, the word perfect there means complete. Doesn't mean he was sinless, but it meant he was complete. It meant he was doing everything he knew to do that was right. It says he feared God, and he hated evil. He didn't want to have anything to do with evil. Job was a saved, godly, holy man. And, if I could have the testimony Job had. And Job, if he was living in our day and age, he'd probably be the best Christian in the church. And Job's life had it going on. He was doing right. Notice what else we find about Job. He was a man who had God's blessings upon his life. Look what it says in verse 2 and 3. "And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also." Now, this may not sound like a lot in our vernacular because of the type of wealth they measured it in, but this was a lot. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And he had substance. He had God's blessing upon his life. He had children. God blessed him with 10 children. Not only that, we find out that Job had a love for his family. Look what it says in verse 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Job cared about the spiritual welfare of his children. And you know, folks, as parents, we ought to have a concern about our children's spiritual welfare. And as God's blessed us with children, as parents, it's our responsibility to raise them in the ways of the Lord. And, I look at Job's testimony here, and I wonder if I am that concerned about my children's spiritual welfare. I know a lot of times people are so concerned about their material welfare, but what about our children's spiritual welfare? But Job was. He was concerned. He had a love for his family, and he had a concern for them spiritually. And then also, look here, Job, we find, was a faithful man. Look at verse 6 through 8. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?'" Wow. I wonder if what God says about me when Satan comes to accuse me before him. I wonder if that's my testimony before the Lord. But Job was a faithful man and had a very good testimony. Hey, if anybody was a good person, it was Job. All right? He was a good Christian, just not on the outside, but on the inside. So why in the world, when we look at an example of someone that went through severe testings, and by the way, folks, we all do. Pastor's been preaching about that, but we all face trials. We all face testings. But when I think of maybe the ultimate example of the ultimate testing, lots of times I think of Job. And why in the world, if this person, if Job was such a godly, upright man, did all these bad things happen to him? I want to give you five things this morning from this passage of Scripture that I pray would be a blessing to you. And folks, listen, it's not a matter of if the bad things are going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And life sometimes just stinks. It's hard. And sometimes we face things that we'd rather not go through. But the reality of the matter is we're going to face them. So when we face them, let's try to face it through this biblical example of Job. Number one, why do bad things happen to good people? So that our lives will bring honor to God. So that our lives will bring honor to God. Now, I want you to notice here, we have a conversation between God and Satan here in verse 7 through 12. And we read part of that. Let's pick it up where we left off in verse 9. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Here we find out that Satan basically was trying to find a way to get at God, was trying to find a way to use one of God's choicest servants to turn against him. But here, look at the confidence that God had in Job. Man, what confidence God had here. You know what? I'm sure God sometimes will allow these hard times so that through those, his servants can bring honor to himself. You know, folks, sometimes we wonder, why in the world does God always demand honor? God always demands glory. Folks, listen to me. If you're worthy of it, there's nothing wrong with it. By the way, we're not worthy. That's why it's sin for us to want to get honor and get glory for things, because we're not worthy of honor and glory. But may I say this, God alone is worthy. And there's nothing wrong with God asking him to be honored and glorified. He's the creator. Without him, not anything would exist that does. So God deserves it. God deserves the honor and the glory. And no doubt, God here had this all worked out so that Job could bring honor and glory to him. You know, folks, just the principle of the Christian life is this: our love. Love must be proved. Our love must be proved. I mean, anyone can say they love God when things are going easy. It's when the tough times come is when our love is put to the test. You know, oftentimes people may ask you, why don't God just do away with the devil and sin? You know, if God is so great, can't he just destroy the devil? By the way, we're going to look at this in just a minute. He's going to, amen? And we'll get there in just a minute. But listen to me, folks. If there's no sin, there's no choice. If there's no choice, there's no love. There must be sin because there must be a choice. And if there is no choice, there is no love. Folks, the wonderful thing about the creation of man is the fact God created us with the free will to choose to love Him. And God could have created us to all love Him, but God was willing to put everything on the line for the relationship that man could have with Him. I want you to think about this for a minute. This is very interesting here. God, before He made man, in His foreknowledge, knew what man would do. God knew that. God knew before He created man that they would turn against Him. God knew before He created man that one day He'd have to destroy the whole earth with the flood except for one righteous family. God knew in His foreknowledge that man throughout the ages would commit evils and the most wicked things. God knew that wicked man would take His only begotten Son and shed His innocent blood. God knew that. Hey, God knew about the sodomite crowd. God knew about the abortion crowd. God knew about all this stinking wickedness that's going on in this world today. But you know what's so amazing? He decided to make man anyway. Why would God do that? Because of the satisfaction, the joy that God gets when man has a relationship with Him. Let me tell you something, folks. You're special to God. You're special to God. Because God gets joy. God gets pleasure from man having a relationship with Him. And folks, when we go through those hard times, we bring honor and glory to God. So bad times will prove your love for God. And notice here the confidence that God had in Job. Man, God was pretty sure of Job. Look here what it says. We just read it, but let me read it again. Verse 8, "Hast thou not considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." That is God's testimony of Job. And hey, if God has that kind of testimony for you folks, we must be doing something right. And Job did. Flip over to chapter 2. Look at verse 3. "And the Lord said unto Satan," once again, look what God says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." That was Job's testimony. And God had confidence that Job would come through this time of testing. If you will, you can almost picture as Satan is bringing this accusation to God and trying to get God to allow Satan to come into Job's life. I can almost see God just beaming when he's talking to Satan about Job. I mean, you know what? God has to hear a lot from Satan when he accuses us. You know what? Let's bring a smile to God's face when through the trials and our test times, we bring honor to Him. You know, God's got to put up with enough junk from us, folks. I mean, there's enough times to where we blow it, we mess up. So, hey, when it comes to a hard time, why don't we come through it victoriously and come through it praising and bring honor to God so that we can, when Satan does accuse us before Him, we can bring some pleasure to Him. Amen? And I can almost picture God just smiling when He's talking to Satan. Hey, have you considered Job? Kind of take a look at him. So that's one of the reasons bad things happen to good people, so that through those times we can bring honor and glory to God. Number two is this: so that we may see ourselves for what we truly are. This is very important, folks. So that we may see ourselves for what we truly are. Now, if you will, flip over to the end of the story, Job chapter 42. I want to show you a very important verse here. Of course, you know the story. Job faced testings, and through all those times, at the very end of it, God came to Job, and God appeared to Job. And notice what Job's response was when God came to him. Verse 6, chapter 42, verse 6. "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." You know, folks, the same man who God said was perfect and upright, the same man who feared God and eschewed evil, realized that compared to the righteousness and holiness of Almighty God, he was nothing. And sometimes, folks, God will allow those things in our lives so that we can get a true picture of what we truly are. You know what? We need to get back to the place that we realize in ourselves we are absolutely nothing. Folks, let me say this. Without God, we are nothing. You know what? We're too proud. It goes against our flesh to get to the point of true admission of ourselves. You know, throughout the Bible, when you see men who had a vision of the Lord, or who God appeared to them, they all had the same response. I'm thinking of Joshua, when he met the unseen captain of the host, of course, which was an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. What's the Bible say he did? The Bible says he fell on his face to the earth. he fell on his face. I think of the old prophet Ezekiel, and when God appeared to him, the Bible says this: "This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell upon my face." I fell upon my face. Daniel, the prophet, Daniel, upon seeing the vision of Christ, the Bible says, "There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. There was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground." And folks, when we get a picture of who God is, when we really see ourselves in light of the Lord, that's exactly where we'll be. We'll be on our face before Him, realizing that without Him, we are nothing. Now, when was the last time we cried out to God, confessing to Him our sin and realizing what we truly are? And, you know, it's not a popular message today to talk about sin. It's not popular to point out to people the sin problem. Just this week, I caught a news article, and some of you may have seen this, about old Jolie Boy down there in Houston, Joel Osteen, where he came out, and this guy's crazy. He always puts himself in these weird situations. He put himself with an interview, and I forget what news network it was on, and the question came up about homosexuality. And believe it or not, fortunately, he came out and said that homosexuality was a sin. Well, of course, because of his inconsistency, the guy that was interviewing him said, "Wait a minute, I didn't think you talk about sin. I never heard you talk about sin before." And here he was basically playing a double standard. And the whole time he kept backpedaling over the fact about how he wasn't trying to judge people and all this and all that. The point is this, folks, sin's not a popular issue. But you know what? We need to see what we truly are. We need to see how sinful we are in the presence of God compared to Him. See, our problem is this. We compare ourselves to each other. And we all do it. I mean, we all do, okay? Let's not act like we don't, because we all do. And in our minds, when we look at ourselves, we want to think, "Well, I'm better than this person," or "I don't do this. I'm not as bad as them." Folks, we aren't the standard. God is the standard. And sometimes God will allow those things in our lives so that we can get a true picture of what we really are. And once we come to the realization of our sinful condition, notice Christ is always there to pick us up and help us through that time. And all those Old Testament illustrations I just gave you about people who had a vision of God and ended up on their face, you find every time where God is always there to lift them up. But God wants us to realize that our dependence is upon Him, and realize that without Him, we are nothing. So why do bad things happen to good people? Number one, so that our testimonies will bring honor to our Father. Number two, so that we may see ourselves for what we truly are. Number three is this: for the sake of helping others. For the sake of helping others. We find once again in Job chapter 42. Notice what it says here in verses 7 through 10. Let me read these verses to you. "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job.' So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job." Now, here's the point I want to make is this, okay? We know that Job's friends had the wrong philosophy about God. When you read through the book of Job and understand their philosophy, you know what? It's a very good possibility that they weren't even saved. But if they were, that they were totally messed up spiritually. You know, I wonder how long Job witnessed or tried to help them before. And you know what? Maybe they wouldn't listen. But after seeing all that he went through, they changed their minds. You know, maybe, folks, sometimes the hard times we face are for the good of others. You know, I wonder what might have happened if Job would have listened to the advice of his wife and cursed God and died. I wonder if he would have been able to help his friends here at the end. I wonder. I wonder if his testimony would have been such to where if he would have cursed God and died, they wouldn't have listened to him. You know, I wonder how many times you've heard of people praying for someone to be saved, and after the death of a loved one, they finally receive Christ. You've heard stories of that before, of people praying for someone to be saved. You know what? It took someone's death for them to come to the point where they're willing to accept Christ. And folks, listen to me. Sometimes the hard things you face, it's not because of anything you've done. It's not because of sin in your life. It's so God can use that to help somebody else. And if God wants to take me through something to help somebody else, that's God's choice. That's God's business. Folks, listen to me. You know what? We're not all guaranteed a perfect, healthy life until the end. I mean, you know what? If God wanted to today on the way home cause me to be in a car accident and be in a wheelchair the rest of my life, that's God's business. And you know, if God wanted to take my life today, that's God's business. And folks, I mean, I don't want any of those things. I'm not asking for those things to happen. But if it does, I need to see the purpose behind it and through that try to help somebody else. And that's what we find about Job. Because of his testimony, God says, look, I'm going to accept Job. He's done right. And if you will allow him to help you, I'll accept you also. So Job was able to help his friends because of him going through these hard times. And, you know, folks, you know, God is like that. And, you know, the Bible tells us that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. And, you know, I wonder what it takes for some people to be saved based upon what the things that God asks us to go through. That doesn't mean they're easy. It doesn't mean they're fun. But, folks, when those times come in your life, ask God to help you reach those people that through that you can help. And I'm thinking of illustrations here, and I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to use any illustrations of anybody in this room, but I can think of several illustrations of people in this room who have gone through things, and because of that, people have been saved, people have been encouraged, people have been helped. So folks, don't lose heart through those hard times. God wants to use you to help somebody else. So why do bad things happen to good people? Well, so that we can bring glory to God, so that we can see ourselves for what we truly are, so that we can help others. Number four is this, so that God can abundantly pour out his grace and blessing. Man, this is where it gets fun. Don't you like this part at the end of the chapter here, verses 11 and 12? Then came there, chapter 42, then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep. And it goes on to list all that God blessed him with. Folks, listen to me. Lots of times God will take us through these things, and then so that he can pour out his grace and blessing upon us. Do you think that God is not going to reward us for our faithfulness? Not that we deserve it, but God does throughout the Bible tell the fact that he's going to reward and take care of his servants. You know what? God will take care of his children. You know, folks, listen, eternity's coming. I know sometimes, you know, we get caught up in life, we get caught up in the things that we deal with every day, and we get caught up in helping people, we get caught up in the trials and the heartaches, but listen to me, folks, just as we heard this week in chapel to our young people, that life's just a vapor. It's just very short. Folks, eternity is coming. Eternity is going to be here. Heaven is waiting for us one of these days, and folks, you're going to live in eternity way longer than you live on this earth. I mean, you know, think about it for a minute. If you get your 3 score and 10, you get your 70. What's 70 compared to eternity? I mean, folks, listen to me. What year in eternity do you think, okay, you're going to be thankful that you served the Lord and were faithful to him? I mean, you think it's going to be the 100th year? Maybe the 1,000th year? I don't know. Maybe the 10,000th year will finally dawn on you. Hey, wait a minute. I'm glad I was faithful to God. I don't think it'll take that long. And folks, listen to me. Compared to eternity, our lives are so short. Okay, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, folks, there's a reason God doesn't spend a lot of detailed time in the Bible telling us all the details of eternity. It's because our minds can't comprehend. I mean, literally, if God would give us everything, our minds would explode. There's no way we could understand everything God has prepared for us. And so, folks, what am I saying is this, okay? God wants to abundantly pour out his blessing and grace upon us. And he does that, okay? Remember, eternity is forever. Life is short. The trials won't last forever. Hey, you know what's something comforting about this? You know that Job lived a long time, okay? He lived back in the days before the flood where more than likely he lived to be an average of close to 900 years old. Very possibility he lived to be that long. Do you realize that those trials in his life only lasted 1 year? 1 year. That's all he had to go through. 1 year. Now, I'm sure he had other trials, other difficulties, but probably no doubt this was the hardest thing he had to go through. And for 1 year of his, let's just say he lived to be 900 years old, because that was the average lifespan back there. 1 year he had to go through these hard times. So he went through these hard times for 1 year, and then God blessed him, of course, for the rest of his life. His life was a life of blessing. And folks, I think that's a picture of the fact that God wants to bless those who are faithful. And by no means am I saying this morning that being a Christian is going to cause you to have money in your bank account. Okay, being a Christian will have you not to have any problems or any heartaches. Of course not, because that's exactly the opposite of what's being taught here. But I will say this: you stay faithful to God, He'll bless you. Whether in this life or the next. And by the way, God's so good to us in this life. You know, we think we have it so bad. Oh, I've got to wait for heaven. You know, things are so bad. You know, just one more day. Folks, look around you. Look how good God has blessed us, folks. We live in America. We live in the greatest nation on earth. Hey, you know what? I'm thankful. I think we're blessed to live in Indiana. We live in a conservative state. We live in a state that has freedoms. And God just has blessed us so much. And so, folks, listen, don't get the doom and glooms. Look around. God has blessed us. So why do those bad things happen to good people? Well, they happen so our testimonies will bring honor to God. They happen so that we may see ourselves for what we truly are. They happen for the sake of helping others. They happen so God can and pour out His grace and blessing. And last of all, man, this is probably my favorite. Why do they happen to good people? Because when we come through victorious, it really ticks the devil off. Folks, I don't know about you, but I really like ticking the devil off. I mean, you know what? Satan thought for sure he had Job. I mean, think about it. He took all that he could take from him. He took him just about to the lowest position a person could get. I mean, he buried 10 children. From one day, he went from riches to rags in one day. His wife turned against him. He was so pathetically in straits that he was sitting in an ash pile scraping his boils with a piece of pottery. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never been that low. That was pretty low. I don't think I know too many people have been that low. Okay, but Job was there. He was at rock bottom. And I guarantee you, when he was there scraping those boils, I bet the devil was sitting back laughing. I thought Satan was having a heyday. I'm sure he began to party a little bit. But you know what? That wasn't the end, was it? And you know what? Job victoriously came through those trials, and because of that, I guarantee you, the devil, the next time he came to God about Job, God just probably, get out of here. I mean, look what he did last time. I mean, I guarantee Job did the business of making the devil mad. You know what? I hate the devil. I hate all that he does. I hate all the lives he ruins. I hate all the heartaches he causes. I hate all the people that he takes to hell. And because I hate him, I want to do everything possible to really tick him off. You know what? Hey, if that means going through some hard times, guess what? Through the grace of God, let's go through some hard times. Hey, if that means having to do without some things, whatever it takes to make the devil mad, folks, let's make the devil mad. Don't let the devil win by causing hard times to make you bitter. Because you got a choice, by the way. When those things come in your life, you can either allow them to make you bitter or you can allow them to make you better. The choice is ours. God gives us that opportunity. Now, just for fun, let's go back to the book of Revelation. And I sure like this. I was taught this here ever since I was a kid. I heard from this pulpit regularly. Pastor Ross said it. Pastor Jerry said is this: when the devil tries to come and remind you about your past, or remind you about this, and remind you about this, and bring all these things upon you, just remind him of his future. Amen? Let's take a look at the old devil's future. I love this verse. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Let's look at it here. I want you all to see it. Amen? Here we go. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them. Amen. That's what he's known as, the deceiver. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's his fate right there. One verse sums it up. Hey, look, there ain't no grand entrance for Satan in hell. Okay, they're not waiting. They ain't got a parade down there waiting on him to, you know, come and take control and rule. Okay, look, you know what? Look at his fate. It says this. It doesn't say that he shall sit on his throne and rule hell. It says he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That word tormented is where we get our English word torture from. Hey, listen to me. The devil doesn't want to be in hell more than anybody else wants to be there. But praise God. Look, when he comes to you and he tries to get you off in areas you shouldn't be in, when he comes to you, he tries to throw up things that want to cause hurt and turmoil in your life, just flip over to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 and remind him where he's going to be one of these days. Amen? And because of that, no doubt, because of Job coming through this temptation, no doubt he was able to overcome the devil in that area of his life. So folks, listen to me. I know it was a simple message this morning. And I know it wasn't probably near as good as what you would have got if Pastor Jerry would have been up here. But this is important for us, amen? Because listen, those hard times are going to come. You know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we can't see through the future of 2011. I'm thankful for that. And we always say that because, you know what, we look back at a year, we look at the things that we have to face and have to go through, and if you knew about those, you'd be pretty discouraged. But by the grace of God, as God brings those things into our lives, let us handle them like a victorious Christian. Amen? And through those things, we can accomplish things for eternity. You know, I wonder how many people are here this morning that are in these pews this morning as a result of the way a victorious Christian handled a hard time in 2010. If you were honest and you would testify, I mean, maybe that's why someone came. Maybe that's why someone's here this morning. So folks, listen. Hey, eternity is waiting on us. Souls are worth it. People's lives are worth it. When we face those hard times, let's do it like a victorious Christian. And let's look at the example of Job's life. And let's come through victorious. Amen? Let's pray this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for all you've done for us, God. We thank you for this story here, Lord, the life of Job that you pinned down in your word. And Lord, I don't know what your folks are going through, Lord. No doubt they're facing some hard times. And Lord, if not, they will be. But Lord, I pray that through this, God, this message, Lord, they'll find some help and comfort. And Lord, help us, Lord, to live for you and be what you'd have us to be, Lord. And thank you for all you've done for us. Now, bless the invitation this morning. Do a work in the hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.